Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Talking Schrop. I'm Shane Stark, and my normal partner in crime, Vicky, couldn't join us today. But to make up for that, we've got a local celebrity in the golf coach extraordinaire, Trey Niven. Trey, how you doing?
I'm very well, Shane. Hope you well.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks. Doing great. Good. So a golf coach. How did you get into that? Walk us through the background.
So we'll go right from the start then. So how did I actually start? I actually started with a plastic set of golf clubs, like most people, that my gran actually bought for me all those years ago. So how old was I? I think I was 7 or 8 years old, and then kind of progressed from there. Got rid of the plastic set pretty quickly and then got a proper set of clubs. Started hitting those plastic set across the cricket field around where I lived at the time. And then, yeah, progressed, bought a proper set of clubs, started going to some group coaching sessions at a local golf club near where I lived on Saturdays. And, yeah, just kept going from there and got better and better. Started playing a little bit of county golf probably around the age of, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12, so pretty quickly from starting. And then, yeah, I just built up, got better, and eventually decided to end up doing my PGA qualifications. And, yeah, that's where I am now, teaching golf and playing a little bit as well.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And you're at the Shrewsbury Golf Club, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Shrewsbury Golf Club, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And do you do all your coaching there?
Yeah, all the coaching at the moment is at from Shrewsbury Golf Club. Yeah, so we have a driving range facility, chipping green, putting green, 18-hole golf course. Yeah, so everything you need to get your golf going. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a little bit of a humble brag, but I'd be doing the listeners a disservice if I didn't admit that you're also my golf coach and helping me sort out my swing.
Absolutely.
So you clearly have the patience of a saint if you can work with someone like me. That's for sure. But so coaching, obviously I'm a business coach, but a golf coach, you know, the skill sets and the diversity of abilities of people that you work with, it, you know, it's tricky at the best times, but when did you know that you thought coaching might be the career for you?
I always liked the idea of helping people get better at golf, even from an early age when I had no plans to even turn professional, because I used to play with my stepdad's friends and they were always after tips. Oh, Trey, show me this, show me that. How can I hit this better? And then it kind of built from there, like helping people, seeing a change, mainly from giving them a quick tip, seeing the ball fly completely different, then being amazed with that. And then it's kind of built from there. And then, yeah, it's only been recently, really, the last, say, 2 years where the coaching's really picked up and I've kind of been in that mindset as, yeah, this is what I want to kind of real nail down and kind of get good at this and improve my craft as well as I'm doing it.
It's
recently, where I've kind of thought, okay, I can get going good at this, yeah.
Now, you said you're doing your PGA qualifications. Is that completed yet or are you still working through that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm in my final year for that. I should actually get my results, final year results, this week. So, fingers crossed, I'll get everything passed for that. But, yeah, I've done 3 years training. Did exams for those May 2021, so this year. And, yeah, like I said, exam results for those come this week. So, yeah, pretty much hopefully I'll be a fully qualified PGA professional by the end of this week.
Oh, that's right. And then what can you do with that accreditation? Because that's going to be recognized all over the world, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so the PGA are recognized across the world. It just gives you basically a part of a big group of golf professionals. And again, it's a bit of a buying point for players and resorts and golf clubs around the world. Every golf club that you go to will usually have a PGA professional as the hub of their contact between kind of players, everybody that goes there that plays golf, they're all connected to a PGA professional. And there's a lot of different routes now actually available for PGA pros, overseas, coaching, business. It's the list endless, really. So it's it does give you that bit of a, I don't know, it gives you a bit of a edge, really, against the next person who possibly just a professional or somebody who's just turned professional, tried to play for a bit, and then potentially took coaching up from there. So it's just a bit of an entry into the world of golf, really.
Oh, brilliant. Well, focusing on the professional side of it, you know, I want to talk about the business side of it now, if we can, because one of the big parts of talking Schropp is it's helping, you know, local business owners, you know, small business, well, business owners of any size, really, to, you know, to learn things that can help them with their business and help them grow. And you told me something a few weeks ago at one of our lessons that I thought was really quite interesting. Mm-hmm. If I can take you back, we talked about some of the social media stuff you were doing, you know, and let's paint the picture that it's COVID, it's a pandemic, people can't go out, and your whole livelihood, your profession is around working with individuals in close proximity. To help them, you know, improve it for what most of us is really a hobby, you know, let's be honest. So, you know, and as we learned during the pandemic, one of the first things to go was, you know, hobbies and things like that, because people had to spend their time where they could. So, you know, walk us through one, the thought process of when the pandemic hit, what first went through your mind? As being you know, a golf coach, and you know, and how that evolved into the use of social media to you know, generate you know, a client base during lockdown.
Okay, so when we were first locked down was last year, when we had all that good weather and we all stuck at home. I kind of tested the waters a little bit with kind of a couple of videos that I did just specifically for golf club members at Shrewsbury. So that was kind of me kind of testing the water and just seeing, just keeping people busy and keeping myself relevant with kind of golf coaching and players that are at the golf club. So I kind of tested the water with that, did a couple of videos, which went out in the newsletter, real basic stuff really. And then, I didn't really do much on top of that. It was very kind of very limited in terms of my knowledge for and the power of social media, really. It was only really in the recent lockdown, kind of after Christmas, January 2021, when we were locked down for another, I think it was 3 months, was it? So we were locked down again. And then I really did think, okay, what can I do? And how can I kind of make the most of my time stuck at home? And how can I kind of elevate myself a little bit from where I was? So then I started to kind of test the waters with my social media platforms, posting content on there kind of daily and really interactive stuff. So I did quizzes and things like that with people that are on there. And I also set a couple of kind of targets and goals in terms of kind of followers, my reach, how many people I want to interact with. So I set some goals at the very start, and I kind of said, okay, I want to be here in a month's time and I want to be here in 2 months' time. And it's just the more I did, the more I was ticking off these little goals that I'd set myself. So it really started with just interaction, getting people interacting with the content that I was posting. So quizzes, lots of, I don't know if you've been on Instagram, you can see the slidey kind of widget things that you can add, and you can see which things people vote for. And then off of the back of that, when we were coming towards the end of the lockdown, I kind of took it a little bit further, and I actually set up some YouTube stuff. So I started posting instructional content to start off with on YouTube when we come out of the lockdown. And that was a massive help this year, and it kind of opened my eyes up in the way that I can actually provide instruction to players and to people that I've never met before. And it just kind of built and built and built. And then I'm at the point where I'm at now where it's a regular thing that I try and post on YouTube at least once a week. And Instagram's just almost become like, not a chore, but it's something that I just do naturally every day just to keep people interactive with what I'm doing. Yeah.
That, you know what? Thank you for saying, because there's a couple of things I want to pick up on there. Yeah. And you know, like most people, you know, social media, Facebook, Instagram, you know, with the exception of LinkedIn, and there's other platforms out there, I know, but they're really more of a personal sort of thing. Yeah. You know, people don't think about it from the professional, you know, concept. So I'm really intrigued by the fact that you set goals around, you know, social media on what you wanted to achieve. Cause I think that's fantastic. And, you know, in my experience, a lot of the conversations I have, people are using it, but they don't really know what they're trying to attain from it. But, you know, going back to the first thing, you know, I guess you had a good sense of where to go because you started off in the first lockdown with a targeted test audience. So, you know, what was the feedback from that initial, if you can remember, and I appreciate it. It's sometimes we forget these things that we learned along the way, but with your initial test audience with the club members, what was it that you learned that helped you facilitate some of those goals?
So going back to kind of last year, it was kind of, what did I learn? It was more a case of kind of trying to provide something different that nobody else was doing. I saw a few people were posting things, a few of the kind of fellow professionals were posting a little bit online, and I kind of wanted to just get into it and just test it, really, just to see the response. And it kind of, from a golf club perspective, it was really well received, as a lot of the members here were kind of unable to play. They were kind of itching the toes, really trying to actually get out and do something. So I just thought, okay, I'll have a go at this and test the water and see what happens. And the kind of initial response was, it was good. I had quite a lot of good comments, and people were kind of interested at the fact that they can actually do stuff at home. It was more a case of the videos to start off with were based on what you could do at home, so in the garden or in the house, to kind of get yourself ready to be playing again. So that was the initial response, really, from people who were watching the first couple of videos that I did.
That is okay. So again, a couple great bits of information you just gave there. You looked around at what was out there, and you made it different because you focused on the needs at the time. So people had to practice their swing at home, hopefully outside the house, not inside the house. Yeah. My ceilings aren't high enough for my swing. But I think the other thing that was really great that you said is that it was helpful. You wanted it to be helpful. You wanted it to be valuable. You weren't just sharing for the sake of sharing. You recognized that there was a need for people to do something at home because that's the only place they could be. You wanted to be different from the other stuff that you saw. And I guess that fed into your goals, and probably, you know, the knock-on effect is, like you said, it got you to a point where you're doing live videos on YouTube now.
It's a kind of frequent thing that I do now. Yeah.
That's brilliant. So now your audience, how much has your audience grown since you started doing this? And what has it done to your actual client base as a result of the efforts you put in during the pandemic?
Yeah, so it's really helped, really. That I did an interesting, when I was setting the goals originally, it was more of an experiment. So I tried to post daily for a whole month and just see how my page grew. So it's more, this was solely based on Instagram and then a little bit of Facebook as well. So I did a little test and I kind of documented, because on Instagram you can see all the insights and things of your page and how many followers, how many people actually go to your page, how many people look at your posts. And so I took a kind of a benchmark from that, and then I reassessed it in a month, and the numbers were very different. I've got them somewhere. I'm sure I can find them. But yeah, I really did grow in that first month, just posting daily. And then the more I posted following that, it was more of a case of, okay, I've seen that for a month. I've got to keep this going now and see where I can take it. And it's not to say that I'm completely huge now, but I'm a lot, I've got a lot more following from where I was kind of at the start of January this year to where I am now. And it really has helped the teaching side of it as well, and business in general, because this year I've had multiple weeks where I've been fully booked. I've actually had to kind of tell people that I haven't got any space in the week. So I've never had that before. And also from a perspective of who I've seen, I've only recently started, well, this year started to see a lot more players come from elsewhere as well. So I seem to be getting a lot more players come from all over the Midlands, kind of part of Wales as well. And a lot more kind of high profile players as well this this year. So I think it's definitely has helped just having that online presence. Yeah.
Okay. So let me recap what you said there. So you weren't using a lot with social media.
No.
Then you made a commitment to do something every day. And I appreciate it feels like a chore some days. I know you're tracking your brain. What am I going to post? Yeah. I have to post something because I said I would. Yeah. So you did that. So you built a following.
Yeah.
Now that following's expanded to people coming from Wales, all over the West Midlands.
Yeah.
And you're fully booked from coming out of a pandemic. So maybe not every week, but there's you know, a lot of weeks where you're fully booked, which is great. Especially, I mean, the weather's, you know, who's getting here? The weather probably hasn't hurt us any either.
No.
How much did all that social media posting and stuff, how much did that cost you?
Cost wise, it's more a case, obviously the posts don't actually cost a thing. It's more a case of when I started to build up and focus on the YouTube side, it's more a case of what did the equipment cost. So firstly, I worked with one of my lessons, MF Media, one of my lessons called Marco. He has a business where he does a lot of videography. So he videos and edits a load of videos and things like that. So it did start off, he was kind of the guy who pointed me in the direction as to what equipment do I need, what do I need to make these videos the best as possible to just get started as a basis.
Yeah.
So the first thing, I had some advice off him. So the first thing that I tackled was audio, really. The first thing I got was a microphone. So I had to get a good quality Bluetooth wireless microphone. The first cost was £170. So that was for just good audio. And okay. Then the actual picture just came from my phone. So I'm able to record in up to 4K on my phone. And I've only just recently actually purchased a camera on top of that. But that's more a case of just for other purposes. So I don't have to use my phone and run the battery flat on that when I decide to do a video.
How much was the camera, if you don't mind me asking?
The camera that I've recently bought was 379.
Okay.
That's a GoPro Hero 9, their latest camera. And then the next thing I had to buy once I've actually managed to, so I've got the video, I've got the audio good. The next thing I had to buy from there was some software to actually edit the videos. So I managed to, this actually came more recently. So I had a laptop and I ended up using a free video editor called Shotcut, which was a really good tool. But my laptop was kind of, not quite powerful enough to kind of edit and make the videos that I wanted to make. So I ended up upgrading the laptop to a MacBook, and then I bought some software which tied in with Apple software. So the laptop, I bought a MacBook Air, and that came to just under £1,000. And then I bought some software. I actually got a really good deal on the software because I was still classed as a student. So I managed to get five pieces of their best Apple's best software for, what did that come to? That came to £200.
Okay.
And that was five pieces of kind of video, audio, that type of software.
Okay.
That kind of set me up. So I kind of just built on it, really. I didn't dive straight into buying all that stuff just for the sake of it. I kind of started with the audio, because that needed to be good. And then I started to get a few kind of subscribers, and then I thought, okay, this is working. Okay, I need to get some better stuff. And then I just built off it from there and built it up, really.
And that's very good advice. I think you didn't go out, you didn't invest in hopes.
No.
You know, so you've not bought just quick math there, somewhere around £1,700 worth of equipment on the hopes that you're going to get business. No. You've got a full book of business, and now you want to evolve your brand. So you've invested. You've invested in the hardware and the software, and I think that's absolutely brilliant. You know, one bit of advice for everybody else that's listening: if you haven't already, you know, check out some of the grants that are available through your local council, because they fund a lot of equipment. You know, there's a lot of IT and equipment grants and things like that. So I wish we would have spoken probably, you know, before you did some of this, because, you know, the MacBook Air, we probably could have got you quite a bit of money towards.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of it, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's probably, unfortunately, you know, advice after the horse is bolted. But yeah. but it doesn't sound like it's, you know, if you've got a full book of business, everything you're doing is working, you know. And I guess bar the time commitment going forward now, that's really the only cost you have going forward.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm set up now. It's just a case of me putting the time in and the hours in and actually making some content and keeping the channel and the business growing, really.
So what advice would you give? So I don't use Instagram. No. I don't use Facebook for business. I only use LinkedIn. I guess as a management consultant, that's probably a better market for me. But say I was, I don't know, maybe a baker or somebody that had a lot more, like yourself, direct interaction with the public through their hub. You know, what would be two or three bits of advice you would give to them to help them build up a network and a presence in the way you have?
I'd just suggest to definitely have some online presence, because in this day and age, everybody's got a smartphone, everybody's got an Instagram account, everybody's got a Facebook account. It's just interacting with people online. It really does help. I think to start off with, it seems like it might seem like, oh, this isn't doing anything. But if you stay consistent with it and just keep going with it, it'll definitely start to build up, and you'll definitely see a difference in kind of the people that actually come to visit you and the market, really. It just all expands itself and gets a little bit bigger. And yeah, I didn't think to start off with when I first started, kind of mainly focusing on Instagram and Facebook. I didn't have many followers. I think I had 100 to 200 followers. And I'd also just set yourself a benchmark, see where you're at, and just, like I said, set some goals as well to kind of keep yourself on track. And if it doesn't happen straight away, it's the consistency of doing something. It's so easy to do something for a week, because I've done that as well. I've posted consistently for 3 or 4 days and then kind of got bored of it and then stopped and then picked up again. I think people like having that consistent flow of content. So I'd stay consistent with it and just watch it grow. It doesn't have to happen straight away. It will definitely happen if you stay consistent with it. Yeah.
Okay. And then another question. So, you know, converting that presence into money in your pocket, you know, how does that work? How does that, you've got a brand now, you've got a bigger following. It's not just online, but geographically, as you said earlier. You know, how do you convert that to, you know, fee paying clients?
Yeah, I suppose it's a case of actually getting people through the door. So what I actually did, a lot of lessons actually messaged me through the online platforms and said, oh, I've seen your videos, I like what you're doing, kind of book a lesson, etc. So it, just by having that presence online, it will encourage people just to drop you a message. And also just make yourself approachable. Don't seem like you want that interaction with people. So I just replied to absolutely everybody that messaged me, good video, or can I book, or what's prices, etc. So I just replied to absolutely everyone, made myself really available to talk. And kind of the last thing, really, maybe run some, I ran a few competitions for free lessons. So when majors were on, for example, the Masters, I run a competition where I basically got people that are online to tag free friends, share the post and like the posts. And then you're entered into a draw to possibly win a free lesson. And then I kind of, that was took up really well. And then I got the person who won the lesson in for his lesson. And then they ended up booking more lessons in. So by offering something free, you've actually ended up better off, because you've got that customer now. And now that customer's coming back every 2 weeks for lessons. And you've only offered him, you've given him a free 30-minute lesson, and he's ended up coming back for five more. So it just helps uh, helps things elevate from there, really.
That's absolutely brilliant. So I'm just going to recap and you know, let me know if I've got this wrong. So you ran a competition to create a bit of buzz, which if nothing else was going to, you know, promote the brand, you know, and boost the brand. But obviously you got a paying client out, which was brilliant. Responding, you respond to everything and you respond quickly.
Yeah, I try and reply as well. If I'm not coaching out there for hours, I try and reply as quickly as possible.
I think that's one thing that, you know, I must admit, I also hear that people set aside a time on, you know, from three to four on Friday afternoon. That's when I'm going to respond to my emails or my social media or things like that. But I think you're right. You know, if you can respond within, you know, sometimes 5 to 10 minutes, that's amazing. But if you can respond definitely within an hour or two, it just keeps that dialogue fresh.
Absolutely.
And in the mind, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and it makes people think like you actually care about your customers, that you're not just ignoring people as well.
You know, I think there's been a lot of good advice that has come out of this, and it you know, dare I say, you figured a lot of this out on your own. Now I know you had some help with the, you know, the video and the equipment and stuff to do on that, but I think if anything that we've learned, the power of social media during the pandemic, you know, that's where people are spending their time now.
I think
the desire to get to know people through that platform, people are much more accepting of that than maybe they were 2018, 2017, you know, and something you said that by, you know, the way you respond to everything, you kind of start building that trust factor a little bit, don't you?
Through
the platform, because you're posting stuff all the time, people get to know you. They get to know what you look like, the sound of your voice. They get to watch you do stuff, and I think that's phenomenally important, you know. And you're the proof's in the pudding.
I think people kind of buy into that personal side, that almost like they know you. They definitely buy into that, as opposed to if you're kind of not accessible and you're almost keep yourself afar from people, as opposed to welcoming everyone. They kind of buy into that personal side of you as well. There's actually a few people which came up to me and said, I ended up having lessons with you over the next person because you seem like you actually care, and you actually care about that individual and my golf as well. So it's just offering something extra that the next person doesn't.
Yeah, well, you know what? From a personal, you know, perspective, I think we've had 3 or 4 lessons together now, maybe more. I'm not saying I'm the best at maths, but at least 3 or 4. And I think the one thing that I noticed about you is you know, forget your abilities and your knowledge. It's just a really good half hour, an hour. You're good company. You're good conversation. You do genuinely care, and you do focus on the individual. You never seem distracted. It's brilliant. And I have to admit, I've had 3 other coaches previously, and you're number one by far.
Right.
By far. And it is, it's just what you said. You truly care. You're results oriented. So you want to see me get better. I guess the worst thing, you know, if I'm playing with somebody who needs lessons and I'm having the worst round of my life, they're going to think, oh my God, what's this guy doing?
That's not a good advert.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think, you know, complete compliments to you, you know, compliments again for everything you did during lockdown. To come out and put yourself in the position, you know, professionally, you know, obviously you worked on your qualifications, you worked on your, you know, presence online, and it's paying dividends, you know, you're fully booked. So just for folks that don't know Trey, where can they find you? Is it just Trey Niven? Can you spell it out for us? How would we find you on Instagram?
It's Trey Niven PGA on everything, pretty much, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Trey Niven, TreyNiven, and then letters PGA. So Trey Niven PGA on everything, on YouTube as well. Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. That's absolutely. Well, listen, I don't want to take any more of your time because I know you actually have a lesson in 10 minutes. So I will let you go and prepare for that. But listen, thank you so much for setting aside some time to talk Schrock with us. We wish you all the best, and I think I need to get back to you for another lesson in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But Trey, thank you so much for your time, and we hope to see you soon.
Yeah, it's great. No problem at all, Shane. Thank you very much.